neoliberal globalization. The article can be found on the In These Times webpage.
Well, yes, Bill Clinton's theme song in 1992, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. I'm not going to think about tomorrow until Wednesday, the day after tomorrow. There's a lot of tomorrows after that. Thanks today for everybody who appeared on the show and worked on the show, especially our ace engineer and novelist, KABU volunteer, Patricia Kohlberg. One reminder, if you haven't delivered your ballot to one of the stations, do it today or tomorrow. Think about the great opportunities and responsibilities ahead, regardless of who wins our elections this time around. We archive. You can hear all of our this show or any of our other shows by going to the KABU website. Thank you for listening.
KABU at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, we'll have a special live radio play, Calvin Coolidge Goes Crazy, on Thursday, November 10th at 7 p.m. This live radio play is set in 1927, expanding on to the true story of Calvin Coolidge's decision in 1927 to not run for a second term as President of the United States. It also features songs from the era by Jerome Kern, Fats Waller, Cole Porter, Rube Bloom, and more. Again, that's Calvin Coolidge Goes Crazy, Thursday, November 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street here in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 10:01. Up next is Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre. Stay tuned.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, November 8th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have a little bit of weather, and we've got some hot headlines for you before we get to our guest. Steve Horn with the Smog Blog is back with an incredible story after 37 Ohio State Highway Patrol troopers left for the Standing Rock protests, North Dakota, on Saturday. Okay, wait for it. A majority of Cincinnati City Council issued a letter to Governor John Kasich requesting that the troopers be brought home. If you've been listening to this show, you'll know that law enforcement officers of all stripes have been called in from across the country to exert military force on the water protectors. And among these, of course, were Ohio's men in blue. And they have now been, there's been a request that they be called back. This is becoming an enormous disgrace. It may not be much in the media here in the United States, but believe me, it's all over the world. The whole world is watching. We're going to get to that in just a moment, because here we are, our feet planted on the ground, no matter what happens around us. We are part of a living, breathing habitat that sustains us. So we report the weather, because it's a little tip of the hat to nature. And I can't believe you, nature always bats last. Nature may have just about had it with us. Detailed weather forecast overnight. We get 50-50 as far as rain's concerned, otherwise overcast and low around 51. Tonight, partly cloud, lows around 51, east wind 6 to 8 miles per hour. And tomorrow, clouds building up, Are they ever? Are they ever building up tomorrow? Yes, indeed. It's a stormy weather. Stormy weather. Highs around 65, light winds, and for tomorrow night, 50-50 chance of rain. 50-50 chance of having maybe or maybe not having a country. And a little around 52. Pretty much this has been a not very exciting time for reporting the weather. But we, as I said, it's not so much about the temperatures and so forth. It's a reminder that this is where we plant our feet. If we were Standing Rock Sioux, we would have a deeper connection with the world that surrounds us. We would have a deeper understanding and therefore a far greater motivation to protect that world. Conservationists and others have renewed the effort to get rid of the four enormous dams from the Snake River. And so this has been a cry and a drumbeat in the background of all other news for quite a while now. And it is very likely that it will. The only opposition, of course, would be people who would stand to make money, and those are fewer and fewer now. And the Oregon Dems want the state's GOP to stop making automated phone calls that falsely tell voters their ballots won't count in ever new and more imaginative ways. And it turns out that more than 100 times, this is something that just came out, many people sense this was happening, but now there's actually numbers, more than 100 times each year, Portland police label someone a criminal gang affiliate. The person who's labeled doesn't have to have done anything, doesn't have to ever been around a gang. They're labeled that, so they come in for... It's hard to imagine extra scrutiny and young men from communities, African-American communities, and yet now we find out that they are labeled gang affiliates. In other words, they're permanently targeted as potential gang members. That's really something to wrap your brain around. And early voting has surged among Hispanics in key swing states. Possible, something that is new and exciting, and we'll find out this election what that really means. Donald Trump's campaign and the Republican National Committee have paid at least $1.8 million, nearly $2 million, to a political operative whose roster of companies. This is his clients, include several that have been repeatedly, and you could check it out, investigated for voter registration fraud. This, even as Donald Trump has bitterly complained that the elections are rigged against him. Of course they know that they're planning on rigging the elections, and the best way to blow smoke over that is to immediately get out in front of it and blame the other one. That's it for headlines. I don't know if I could take any more headlines. I want rather to hear from Steve Horn at the Smog Blog, because he's got a story for us. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers confirmed that the Energy Transfer Partners, that's the owner of the proposed Dakota Access Pipeline, has ignored the Obama administration's September 9th request to voluntarily halt construction. In other words, the company has defied the United States government. This is getting weird. This is getting deeply weird. We're up to our knees in weird right now. Good morning, Steve.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me, Chris.
It's great to have you. It's great to have you. Lead us out of the weird. What's going on with this? How is it possible that this company, Energy Transfer Partners, has literally, they defied the president. The company's brought in law enforcement from across the country. The fraud, the corruption here is so dense, it's hard to see your way through it. My way through it. You can see it, not me. Go ahead.
It raises questions also. So you mentioned that they defied the voluntary order by the Obama administration, and it really raises questions about how serious the administration was about that, given that they made it a quote-unquote voluntary thing. You know, it could have been something where perhaps the Obama administration said, you better not build within 20 miles east or west of this controversial land plot surrounding the Missouri River and Lake Oahe, or else you will not get the other permit you need. Instead, they said, basically said, please do not build with no legal teeth. And I think a lot of people, myself included, when that September 9th press release was issued, said, kind of looked at it with some suspicion, like, are they really serious about this? And 2 months later, we see that the Obama administration wasn't very, very serious about trying to stop Dakota Access. And so the pipeline continues to be built all the way up until the one permit that they do not have, and that's the one that will that they want to cross the Missouri River and Lake Oahe, which is the body of water that feeds into the Missouri River, a dammed river that was created decades ago. So, the struggle, you could say, it continues on the ground. As anyone following knows, there's still a lot of police repression, law enforcement repression. And so I think that it will only heat up in the coming days now that they have news that Dakota Access has continued to build right up to the river. And I should note that I'm not the one who broke the story that they were building it up until to the river. That was actually a guy who had a drone camera, and he got footage. I reported on it and got confirmation from the Army Corps that indeed they've continued building, but the initial impetus was this drone video, and that goes to the broader issue. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, has put back in place its no-fly zone, or its temporary flight restriction zone. It's in place all the way until November 15th, and it was originally in place from October 26th through November 5th. They said they had dropped it and got rid of the temporary flight restriction zone. As soon as my article came out, lo and behold, the no-fly zone, or when I was working under the no-fly zone, went back in place. And I think it's because they do not want videos like that drone video out there in the public domain.
But there's a matter of aerial surveillance and cameras going on up there. They're certainly tracking people at the camps. Why couldn't that video feed be hacked and the water protectors get their hands on the video from the surveillance planes? It seems like that, I mean, well, if the Russians could hack it and sway the U.S. election, I think this would be an easy one for them.
Well, you know, the important thing to point out here is that the no-fly zone, of course, doesn't apply to the company. It doesn't apply to law enforcement. Mm. Oh, sorry. It doesn't apply to those with power to put this pipeline in place. And so one story I just released showed that one of the co-owners of the pipeline maintains as a customer one of the helicopters that was up in the air surveilling or doing surveillance on the activists.
But I don't understand.
Water protectors.
And so the no-fly zone applies only to...
It applies
civilians.
To clarify, and the drone, civilian drones, for example, that could do video. It does not apply to law enforcement and any contractors. And so one of the contractors in particular actually has a customer, one of the helicopters companies has a customer relationship with Enbridge, who is a minority equity owner of Dakota Access LLC, which is the company that owns alongside Energy Transfer Partners, the Dakota Access Pipeline. And so we're actually seeing that, a helicopter company with a direct connection, more or less, to the pipeline in terms of having them as a client, they're allowed to fly. And not only that, they're definitely doing surveillance because I got from people who are on the ground high-resolution photos that shows people on the helicopters taking photos and doing other types of whatever they're doing, but it's definitely for surveillance purposes. They're up there, so it's a double standard where they're allowed to fly, but no one else is allowed to fly. So they're controlling the airspace as well as, of course, on the ground with all the out-of-state cops who've been brought in under the Emergency Management Assistance Compact from several different states. And so that's all going on at once. That's what sort of the backlash against the water protectors or the protesters on the ground at Standing Rock. And that, you know, I expect this, of course, to remain in place for the next couple of weeks. And that's just sort of a lay of the land, more or less, of the law enforcement and surveillance state in Standing Rock.
And the violence, of course, continues. So although the water protectors are cramped in every possible way and prevented from doing any, or minimal. Actually, I want to say that the attempt to prevent them from doing what they're doing as far as getting the story out have not been as successful as one would expect, given the money poured into it. Steve, we're just about at the end. One final thought from you. I'd like to have you back, of course, because I want to know just how can you be not very serious about as far as Obama is concerned? That's questionable. You're either pregnant or you're not. You're either serious or you're not.
That's a good closing point. So we'll you know, the next few weeks we're going to see.
Let's look at that.
Yeah, tribal consultations with the Obama administration, government-to-government consultations. And we'll see how serious the Obama administration is in the next few weeks. Those close up on November 22nd, so that's something I'll be monitoring closely. So I'd love to come back and talk about it.
Thank you so much. My guest, of course, has been Steve Horn of the Smog Blog. Thanks so much for that, Steve. This has been at Cascadia for Monday, November 8th, a day that will go down in infamy, no doubt, 2016. Engineering for us today is Jenka Soderberg. Thanks, Jenka. Kathleen Stevenson. Excuse me. Derek Crooks is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. Here comes Locus Focus.
This KBOO program is made possible in part